Welcome to another episode of True Transparency. Today's truth.
What does LA Fitness and Starbucks have in common?
Racial profiling.
Profiling. What is it about black men that make white people so nervous? Is racial profiling really getting out of hand? Where does it end? So things have been going on this week with LA Fitness and Starbucks. We talked about this last week when everybody started boycotting Starbucks about the two dudes that actually got arrested for sitting down and doing absolutely nothing. They actually went on Good Morning America this week and found out that they were meeting. This is the actual story, if you guys want to know, based upon what they told on Good Morning America. They went into Starbucks, okay, to have a business meeting in regards to real estate. Two of them showed up early. While waiting for the third person to show up, one went and asked the manager for the bathroom code. That must be something different in Philadelphia. We don't need a bathroom code down here. But they went and asked for the bathroom code. They denied them the bathroom code. So he went back and sat down, and then the police were called. Police arrived and immediately just arrested them. It's not like, hey, just leave, go somewhere. They arrested them. As they were arresting the two gentlemen, if you watch the video, they weren't saying anything. They weren't resisting. They weren't acting up. Nothing like that. Just two gentlemen sitting there. The people that were actually making the most, a scene per se, were the white patrons that were actually in the Starbucks because they didn't understand what was actually going on. They were sitting there going, hey, I do this all the time. I come in, I sit down, I use up all the Wi-Fi, and I don't do anything. We've all done it. We sit down, we pull out our computers, laptops, iPads, whatever you have, and you literally use the Wi-Fi and you do it as a meeting spot. And they did the same thing and they weren't understanding what was happening. As they're being arrested, their friend shows up. Okay? They spend 9 hours in lockup to only be released for them to say, my bad. And I was like, oh, okay. Everybody starts to lose their mind because now it's on video and people can actually see it. So we've had conversations for the last week about this stuff and we were talking about it. And lo and behold, this weekend, we get on, you know, Instagram, social media and all this stuff. And again, it's happened at LA Fitness. LA Fitness in New Jersey. Two guys working out. One is actually a member of LA Fitness, and then his friend comes in as a guest. They get approached to saying, hey, you need to pay. And the guy is like, I'm a member. I have my little membership card. They scan it and show that he's a damn member. And the police are called. We don't know why. They ask the police, why are you here? Why am I being my membership being deactivated? The police is on video saying, man, I don't even know. So not only does he get, you know, sequestered and figure out, hey, why are you doing and why are you here? You need to pay. Then you get your membership deactivated for no reason and you get banned from the gym simply because you're a black man and they could do that. And so my question is, what is it about black men that make white people so nervous? What is it, y'all? I mean, both of y'all are black men, so this is real for you guys. And don't y'all go like to LA Fitness and Starbucks and all that stuff?
Yeah, I frequent both of them. And that's what the creepy thing about it is, because no matter, I don't have an answer for you. This is a tough question because not all white people are the same, of course. And they're nervous of us for different reasons. I work with white people and, you know, we're not nervous, but it takes them a while to get used to me. But I also don't look aggressive. So I think that's the other part of it.
Hold up. What does it mean to look aggressive?
So I have glasses. I look like I read a lot. No one is looking at me feeling threatened whatsoever.
he walks a certain way. You know, he talks a certain way. Everything.
I grew up in a place where that was
just me. So wearing glasses is the way. Now let's go into it deeper. Okay. Now, so you're saying because you wear glasses,
it's a non-threatening type of demeanor that you have to have.
Do you think that has anything to do with skin color?
Yes.
And when I say skin color, I don't mean black people. Like, I'm just saying lighter skinned black people and darker skinned black people. Do you feel like darker skinned black guys get more profile than lighter skinned black guys?
Yes. And I think it goes back to the question of white people being nervous, right? So I think if you're lighter skinned, at least in my experience, I've seen that white people are less likely to be nervous around me because I look like something they may have seen before, right? Versus a darker skinned guy, it's a clear contrast, clear difference. So you're not comfortable. It gets out of your family frame. You've never seen a guy like this in your natural day life unless you happen to be in corporate America in a place that's diverse. But there are places in America where you can go and not see black people. But in these same places, you might see one black person. You've seen a light-skinned person who lives in that town versus that. That's a little tangent. But I was thinking about this time I went to Kentucky. We went to like rural Kentucky for one of the jobs I was doing. And we were visiting this middle school for a concert.
Okay.
Right? I didn't see but one black person the entire time I was there. And I was there for almost 12 hours. One black guy. He has two light-skinned children in a town full of white people. And I am looking at him like, how are you? What's going on? And he has the countryest accent. He's just blended in. And people like, hey, Mr. Chuck, how are you? He is the only one. So I know you just happen to see a light-skinned person. Oh, he's probably married to some white person. And that's cool. You see that. But if you are a different black person in that town, if you came with us on this trip and you are a darker skin, you immediately stick out to them. That's not something they've seen before. And they get nervous around what you don't understand.
I agree with the latter part of what you said. You get nervous around what you don't understand. But let's take it in both of these instances. This happened in specifically in the Northeast, in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, they got some black people there. Okay? New Jersey, they got some black people there. I understand you're saying rural Kentucky, but they got some black people there. And I know they have stereotypes, but black people drink coffee. Okay? Black people go into Starbucks. Black people go to LA Fitness. They go play ball. They go lift. They go do the things that normal, everyday people do. So what is it about when you see them? What is it? Are there different types of black people? And I'm really asking the question because even though black women have a different plight than black men, but black men are more feared than black women.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a white person on the show to answer these questions.
Literally, because
we don't have to answer.
Like, the thing is, we don't, but it's literally like the things I was listening to Kev on stage on Facebook when he was dealing with this situation. And he was like, man, it's real interesting because he said the kind of conversations he has to have with his kids. Mm. He has to say, when you walk into some place, make sure you smile now. Make sure you smile. Don't walk in and don't smile. If you're wearing a hoodie, make sure whenever you walk in, you take the hood part off.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure whatever you're doing, don't speak too deeply. You know, the different things like that. Yeah. Imagine having those types of conversations with young 11, 12-year-old boys. Imagine you just walk in somewhere and you might just be thinking about something and you have forgotten completely about your countenance, about your disposition. And now, just because of the color of your skin or the perception of something that you might not be aware of, you're an immediate threat. And when I say immediate threat, not to follow you around the store, because we've all had that. Now, black men, black women, all of we've walked into a store and everybody in here been followed in a store before?
I've never been followed in a store.
I don't think so.
I've been followed multiple times. And it usually found, y'all light skin, that's why. All right. And so. And so literally, I'll walk into a store and they'll just walk behind. Hey, do you need any help with that? No, I'm good. Thank you. I'm just browsing. I'm good. All right. Hey. And then the next thing you know, they're right behind you over here. What's going on? All right. Cool. Hey, I already told you I don't need any help. I'm just looking. And they're following you around and around and around and around. Dude, I'm not trying to steal nothing. Literally, I'm not trying to steal nothing. There are many counts where people have done that. But now, it's to the point to where it's not just, okay, are you going to take something or anything? It's getting extreme. Like, the first thing you think to do is to call the police.
Yeah, there used to be a conversation before that happened. Like, the manager would come speak to you. Excuse me, is everything okay? and then they would go see what, like, they would at least try to deal with the problem first. Now we're going straight to do not pass go, do not collect $200, go straight to jail. And that's creepy, and that's scary as hell to me.
Yeah. It is. But before you get to that, I did want to touch on something Tierney said. What you're talking about was code switching. Mm-hmm. Like, every black person has to know more than one code. Like, you know, it's a language. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be bilingual. Every black person has to be bilingual. If they're not, then it's to a disadvantage to us, because, I mean, it goes back to how white people react to us. So when I was talking about the whole non-threatening image, that's because he knows how to dial into that code to where he doesn't come off as, you know, threatening.
But if you can't control the color of your skin, okay? If you came out light skin, good. If you came out brown skin, dark skin, whatever it might be, you can't control that. But so you're saying, how do I need to dress? So let's talk about that. How do I need to dress to not be threatening?
Okay. So the reality is there is a outfit that will keep you from look threatening. And it's funny, but this is also something that I do often. So I grew up in a very white neighborhood where people would profile me all the time for being a hood kid who was just trying to steal stuff. So growing up in situations like that, my parents had a conversation with me. This is what you got to do. This is when people talk to you, you got to talk this way. So I've learned to be this way because of my environment. So you want to look like, just get passed over, not get racially profiled. I need you to have some Toms on, some form of Toms, some comfortable shoe. You're laughing. I'm dead ass. You will not look. Who are you about to fight in Toms? No one. You got to wear like some khaki pants, some version of khaki, some in the brown perspective, a t-shirt, like a nerd t-shirt or something, like a collared shirt, no hoodie.
I mean, like,
you wear sunglasses.
If you go into the store,
you got to look like them. That's to surmise everything. You have to look like them.
You know what? And I know where you're going with that. But as I was listening to you say that, it's almost like you have to walk around with like a white flag. Like, I am of no harm to you. No,
legitimately, you do.
So in my mind, it's not necessarily looking like them. That's just looking like, I know I'm not going to get any pushback from this person type of look, you know, because they got the white flag up.
I don't understand. So is that smiling, laughing? Hi, how you doing? All right, what's
going
on?
So you don't have to go.
What is, well, yeah, that's
you don't got to coon it.
You don't have to, yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, what are you doing? Like, you know, because, I mean, like, just
you're really playing that role.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but just so you, I mean, you want to be safe. I mean, well, but hey, just to say that, I just don't think I've ever seen it. You made a really great point. I was like, oh, we would need a white person to ask why are white people so nervous? But how about we take it from the other vantage point of what goes through our mind as black people when we're trying to be like, okay, but the thing is, there are certain instances when we know, okay, we gotta get our stuff together, because I gotta make sure, like you said, you know, we gotta know when to flip the switch, because I know when I go in here, I'm gonna have to flip this switch. All right. A lot of times black people know at work, you gotta sometimes flip the switch because you can't let your voice go a certain way in different places. But what about, hey, I'm just going to stop in for a few moments. We went to Starbucks last week, no? And sat down. Never once. I think I had a hoodie on.
Code didn't work that time. They rejected the code.
But the thing is, what did these guys do? Like, I was just really thinking, like, if I was...
Brother had braids in his head or something.
That was one thing. Somebody did have braids.
It's always a cue for them. When you look too ethnic, that's when something goes off. Like, oh no.
He was too relaxed. He was too much of himself. You know?
No, you know what? Yeah, and I just want to be very, very honest about it. Like, currently, I'm wearing braids, okay? For a long period of time, I did not have braids. I did not have, you know, what they would call an ethnic hairstyle. I had long hair. So it was very, you know, Eurocentric appearance. And so now I have braids. And all the time, even as a black woman, I'm concerned about how I'm perceived because of my hair. I mean, you could see my hair and you could just be like, oh, Lord, she might be a hood chick, or oh, she's not intelligent, or anything like that, just based upon my braids, the fact that I have braids on. It's not until you actually encounter and hear me speak, or, you know, have some type of conversation with me, that you can understand where I'm coming from. What about people that never even get the chance to have the conversation? We just make an assumption. Okay, I have braids, but I might be a Rhodes Scholar with braids. I might be Bill Gates with braids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just how I'm choosing to express myself.
Next time we need a white person to sit in that chair and answer these questions.
So
those are very good questions.
Powerful. We do. But now that I'm thinking about it, all of us are wrong. Henry Louis Gates was racially profiled at his house. And he assimilated. He is the model of assimilation. He's at Harvard, he's a teacher, he's a professor, he's out here teaching, and they thought he broke into his own home. So there really is no way of dressing, there is no way of being.
That's what I was trying to get at. There's nothing that we could do. You could switch it up. There's no way it's going to go to each individual person. Because like you said, we could have a white person on the show that is completely open-minded, that's had a lot of exposure, and thinks differently, and they'll be like, I don't know why they think that way. This is the way I think. It's going to be down to every individual person. But the part that's so difficult is that why does a large majority of certain types of people feel this way when they see a certain black appearance? Because it's a lot. What contributes to that fear or that nervousness? Because the thing is, literally, the media. Think about it. Think about it.
There.
I'm like, you go see movies.
But
I mean,
here's the thing though. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do. But here's the thing though. America is a broken nation. It all started with slavery, and there was never any reconciliation. There was never any retribution. This is a broken black and white, literally, nation. And that's just the way it is.
I don't know. But all I know is that now it's just to the point to where it's comical. Because like literally, like the question we ask, where does it end? Like, what do I do? What happens when you're wearing, you know, a suit and you walk into a Starbucks right before a meeting and you still get profiled? What happens when you're driving a car that's in your name? That you purchase because you work hard and you're still profiled, like you're doing everything right.
I'm mumbling because every time I think about giving an answer, I'm quickly reminded why that's not going to be the case. It comes down to the police officers. It comes down to the perception that people have of us. So we have to address how we're perceived in the media. I think we should start there. There's something about the way that we are shown that really makes people have this image of savage aggression. And we see it played out continuously where you'll hear something along the lines of, he looked like a demon and I had to shoot him or something like that, you know? And they have this image of us that doesn't hold true for all of us, and they force us to look that way. These guys at the Starbucks, they looked like, unfortunately, something that they had seen in the media to be afraid of, instead of just seeing them for human beings. That imagery has sparked that fight or flight response, and they of course are calling the police instead of doing both.
I can't 100% blame the media. The media plays a part in keeping it ongoing, but I think what it boils down to is just it goes back to again this generational view of the black man. It's a extremely damaged, poor representation, resume. The media can't do any more harm to it. It just keeps it ongoing. It's just I think white people they get a narrow view, a perspective of a very limited amount of black people. Mm-hmm. And that very, very small experience coupled with what their relatives are either consciously or unconsciously saying, thinking, and reacting to black people, it all goes into their behavior, and they begin to have a negative perception of black people based on the very, again, it goes back to the very small actual real world experience, mm-hmm. but coupled with those behavioral cultural influences, how do you stop that?
I think it's the media again. I mean, if
the media,
so here's what I say, do so the media. Much. The media can change a lot, right? Think about Fox News when they were talking about Chicago and how terrible of a place it was. The media can perpetuate these stories and make you think and elicit that fear, and they can create more of it or less of it depending on how they feel, right? So we can have more representation, accurate representation of black people on the media, and we could pump that as much as we want, and people would in turn get more comfortable with it because they see it more often. They see more regular black people, regular being in quotes, doing things, going out Starbucks, going out to places without having that tinge of aggression. But because they don't, and they keep perpetuating the same stories that you're talking about, they're making it worse. So that's why I hold them to it. You're right, they can't do anything more to it, but they can create and get buzz off of it and feed into everything and keep it going. But they can also stop it. So I have to hold them accountable for the image that they see. If you only see one type of black person on Fox News and you see something that's contrary to that, if you watch Fox News all the time, it'll appall you. Oh, that's not what you're supposed to look like. He must be up to something, because that's the story they kind of try to play out. So the media has a hand in it, and we as black people should start trying to promote more positive, which is why we like Black Panther and all these things, because they're getting them more comfortable. But we need to start showing more of ourselves in different lights.
So you're saying you're speaking for the white person that doesn't live around any black people, that doesn't know any black people, who watches Fox News. That's their on black people.
So just people,
and that's
period.
Where they get it from?
Even if I work with a bunch of black people in my job as a white person, right? I spend hours watching television. Whether or not I'm talking to you on your phone, it's always in the background. And it's constantly going in the background. You're constantly thinking about it. How many times have you watched TV and not really watched TV? Be honest. It's just on. You're not really paying attention to it. You're doing something else.
Yeah. I mean, the TV always runs a lot of times in my house. So I mean, there's a lot of, what you say, subliminal messages that kind of go on unconsciously for us that we're just picking up, that we're not noticing that we're picking up.
Mm-hmm. You watch a violent movie. Oh, my God. Who's going to be the henchman? Probably one or two black dudes. You're going to see a big black guy and you'll be like, oh, an action movie. He probably has something. That changes the way you look at people. Even if you don't accept that view, just the fact that you continue to see these images makes it worse when the actual black person walks around you. You still might work with them, have a relationship, but that doesn't mean you trust them. So I think that the media has a big stake in it. But I'm one of those people who believes that psychologically we've been indoctrinated to think certain ways.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from now. I understand where you're coming from, York. But I think the media does have a bigger role in it than we sometimes give them credit for. But we're the ones that's gorging on this media. Like, they have some shows where you can't, it's not a good show until somebody starts fighting and acting like a fool. Like, it doesn't get ratings. Black people sitting down and acting civilized doesn't get ratings because people are like, oh, that's boring. We want to see these people out here acting, quote unquote, like savages. And so if I get that and I see that all the time, then when I get around, you know, this group, then of course I would think, well, this is the expectation, even if it's only a small sect of people. And so literally, we know that it's an issue. OK, it's an issue. And the media does. Why do you think so many people had a problem with Black Panther?
I didn't know a lot of people.
People did have a problem with Black Panther. People had a problem with Black people's reaction to Black Panther because they were like
a couple of people or a lot of people.
No, a lot of people. A lot of people had a problem with Black people's reaction, both black and white. Okay, it wasn't just white people, but the fact that black people had imagery that they were proud of that was rarely shown was the reason that everybody got so hype. People got hype. How often do we see ourselves as kings and queens and superheroes and intelligent and running things and having our own societies and different things like that? It's just not something that was normal. It's not normalized. And so because it's not normalized, you know what's happening? It comes out and it becomes the number one movie. Because it's so foreign to people. And but like how many gangster movies y'all done seen growing up? You know, going through Facebook right now, they was like, they listed like 50 movies. If you've ever been on there, to be like, hey, what's your count? Have you seen them? They was naming stuff like Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood. What's the one that just came out by NWA? Straight Outta Compton, CB4, Baby Boy. They were going, and you can name 50 movies that all depict the exact same imagery of black men. Thug, hood, ghetto, this way, that way. And you don't see none to be like, hey, what happened to the movie about, like, you know, the smart black guy? Do we have one of those? You see how hard you're thinking?
I have one.
Dr. Doolittle.
But I'm just saying, you see how hard you're thinking. You asked me about 5 or 6 gangster movies. Brrr, I could just run them off to you.
Well, here's the thing. As a human being, we like a particular story. Always good guy, bad guy. But we're very intrigued by the bad guy. As humans. I mean, how many stories of good guys would you say? I don't know. You kind of see where I'm going. I'm probably not explaining.
It's just no, because I see what you're saying. But even when they show other races not necessarily being the good guy, they're portrayed totally different. Just think about that. Think about like the Godfather.
Everybody but white people.
Like literally,
white people are portrayed different ways. Because as I'm sitting here thinking about it, okay, who's the next gangster you're going to see in a gangster movie? Typically, is it going to be a Latin American guy? It's going to be something related to drugs. You're going to see that. I'm also thinking about Indian people. You're going to see them working in a convenience store or something like that. That is still a perpetuation in the community. And I can think about each race and they have something. The exception to the rule is white people. They have depictions of different things. They have both extremes.
Superman.
Right. And we don't have that.
Batman.
Which goes to the point, because we don't have that, it's easier for them to see us as the bad guy immediately, because there's nothing to contrast what they've seen. So they're, black people, you're evil. Boom. That's the movie. I'm going to watch a movie. It's going to be a white guy. He's going to fight a black guy. Demolition Man. Sounds just like that. And, you know, there we go.
Rocky.
Yeah, they had to make Rocky beat Apollo Creed. That was so
Training Day.
But, like, literally. And then the thing is, I don't want to get too far off the topic, but do y'all remember when Training Day was the only movie that Denzel actually won? Was it an Oscar for portraying that? He portrayed really good characters. But because that's what they want to see.
That is what they want
to see. They want to see us just in like
the same
that.
Year Halle Berry won for Monsters Ball.
Yeah.
I still don't fucking understand.
Well, I think she played like was some type of.
Yeah, okay.
I saw the movie once.
I saw it.
But I would think that the people who voted saw this movie was like, yeah, this is exactly so real. This is how black women are.
You know, I'm just saying, it's perpetuating stereotypes. And the thing is, when something doesn't look like the stereotype that we like, you're just like, okay.
I still never got over Just Make Me Feel Good. That line in that movie has just been...
Next. Don't even want to talk about it. That's just like the most horrible, horrible thing. But, I mean, like when you get into those instances where you're actually seeing reputable black people doing certain things, that's not the thing that we want to appreciate. You know, when we...
Well, I don't know. Training Day was directed by a black man.
I mean, I understand.
The greatest probably black actor of all time in my mind, Denzel Washington.
But I guess because it was so different than anything else that he's ever played. That's why he won.
For us...
He was so smooth.
For us, I think it's a range thing. We looked at the movie and we appreciated the acting ability of Denzel, because we know it was contrary to his character. If you were to have a conversation with Denzel, he is not a thug at all.
He was the bad guy in that movie.
But he made the plunge into that depth to do it. Yeah. So I feel like we appreciated it, and white people were like, oh my God. But they didn't feel it the same way we felt it. We know that he's not like that. for them, this was like the greatest villain of all time. And I think he's on the list for being one of the greatest movie villains of all time.
He played that role. I mean, to me, I think he deserves an Academy Award for every movie that he's in, because he's an amazing actor.
Right. That's the point. He's an amazing actor. And
but it is like when you see people get Academy Awards, it's for these movies that you're thinking, you know, you're looking at the depiction of black people in those films.
Have y'all seen Hollywood Shuffle?
No.
Heard about it.
Okay. So Hollywood Shuffle is Robert Townsend's movie, and it's about what we're talking about. And at the time, we had to look like slaves, but he's talking about how many black people in Hollywood had to go look like that, and he had an acting school for it. It was
Step and Fetch It.
It was a parody on it, but we have to be that way, unfortunately, and which goes to why we think that we can be safe dressing a particular type of way and acting a particular type of way.
So let me bring up something that we were talking about last week. Since we on this media kick about the stereotype of why people see us the way, why specifically why white people see black men a certain way. Y'all saw the thing, Black Jeopardy, right? On Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I'm not even going to lie. To be honest with you, I didn't see it. A white person actually told me about it. And the white person is mad cool. Mad cool. And they were just like, hey, you need to go and see it because T'Challa is on there. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go and see it. And at first I found it very funny because of some of the stuff that they were saying, because one of the categories was white people. And they were talking about potato salad and, you know, different things. And so I was like, oh, man, that's stupid funny. But the other things, like all the other categories, and I remember talking with you now, and I was like, hey, have you seen it? And you were just like, I can't watch that. Like, yeah. It's just ridiculous. Because literally, all it does is just basically, it talks about having bad credit, putting stuff in your mama name, not telling you a doggone thing, you know, not paying up when you say you want to. And literally, it just shows us repeatedly. Why is it making, it's funny because you know cases of when that's actually factual. But that's not representative of all black people. But literally, and then they did one episode.
It might not be, but when you think about SNL's audience, SNL has more of a white audience than a black audience.
Mm-hmm.
So the jokes, the material that they're going to write are going to ring more true to their experience than it is an actual experience.
And there's a team of writers who are mostly white who wrote those jokes. When I watched it, that's what immediately, because I wanted to be a writer for sitcoms. And so I started researching what goes into these sketch shows. And there's a team of writers, mostly white people, who come up with these jokes. And that's when everything really offended me. Like, it wasn't funny anymore. I appreciate you trying to have the appeal to T'Challa, but come on, son. The jokes about bad credit, really? Really? You have a king having a conversation with poor black people about bad credit, and it's funny. Like, you took something that we held in high regard, and you made it a joke. And I didn't like that.
I thought it was funny though. That's my opinion.
I thought the part about the damn potato salad was extremely funny. Yeah. Because it's true. Okay.
Right, yeah.
And it's not, and the thing is that makes me funny and laugh is like, I know
there's
a white person that makes good potato salad. But the same way, do we see white people the same way that white people see us? Do we see all white people in one, you know?
That's why they had the category on the board, white people.
No, we see them better than they see themselves.
Oh, man. Well, switch it up. Like, basically, they're nervous. And so we have to watch ourselves, and more specifically, black men have to just watch themselves. Because you could be doing the normal thing that you do every day around the wrong person, and they just get super nervous and take it to the extreme. So what I want to know now, since we're talking about taking it to the extreme, is the problem getting worse with the racial profiling?
No. It's just, so Will Smith has a quote. He said it on The Late Show. Racism is not getting worse. It's getting filmed. And when I heard that, I was like, that's so real. Maybe a day after the Starbucks thing, there was another guy on Facebook who had posted a video, and he was asking a white guy, hey, did you just come out of the bathroom? The guy turned and said, yeah. But the story is, the guy goes into the Starbucks, tries to use the bathroom with the code. They don't give it to him. A white guy comes in moments later, gets the code, goes to the bathroom. So he asks him, did you just get into the bathroom? And the guy's on camera saying, yeah, they let me in. So he goes and he walks to the front and is like, well, you just gave him the code. It's cool. You can go ahead and give me the code as well, because he just did it. And the guy's having a argument with the manager, and he ends up walking out. But that happens probably all the time. Chipotle, when there's only one Chipotle in Atlanta, was over on Piedmont, and you had to get a key to use the bathroom. I've seen hella moments where people were like, are you going to order something? Are you going to, because it was a different time. Now it's too many of us in the area. We know, we're hip to it. But it happens so frequently that it's become a part of the Black experience sometimes. You know that it's going to happen at least once. It may not be into this extreme, but you've experienced racial profiling as a Black person some way.
Yo, you know what? But it's messed up that some places have that policy with the bathroom. You can't use the bathroom if you're a paying customer. Pay your damn water bill. Is it that much of a difference? People coming in your store, they may buy something, they might not. They want to use the bathroom. Let them do what they need to do. Pay the water bill. What's the big problem?
But you're going to have to pay it regardless.
Exactly. Exactly. So just, it's a dumb policy.
Yeah.
For one. And then you have these people, again, these are people that you hire. Doesn't mean that they represent the culture of your company. These are people that you hired. These are work people that you pay money to. They need money, so they show up to the job to interview like, hey, yes, I'm this, I'm that, yeah. And then you employ them to do this particular job. Yeah. If you have a policy that says, a dumb policy that says you have to monitor bathroom usage, I want you to watch for people that come in and make a decision on whether or not you want to give them the code. And again, these are people that you got off the street. You don't do no extensive type of background on whether they're racist or not. You know what I mean?
There is no test.
What does that look like?
Exactly.
So it's an interview question.
Sir. It's going to have to be a person of color giving this test.
You can say it like this. I say, hey, tell me about a time you had to deal with diversity.
No.
Big corporations need to hire minorities that will go through these interview processes, and we will pick out who.
He's so stupid.
We will determine. We will come up with various tests.
Bring in the Black. Like, did y'all see the one with the? It's on Saturday Night Live. So you said when they had the Black dispatcher.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't see that one.
Okay, so this is really funny because the way that you're saying it is like basically they were saying, "Hey, how we're combating racial profiling is we got a Black dispatcher, so she receives all the calls in." So, like, when people are calling in and saying, why is he a really, you know, suspect Black guy walking down the street? She answered the phone, yeah, because he probably lived there. Bye. Hang up. Like, literally, while it's funny, it's kind of like going, yo, man, stop tripping. Like, he probably lived there. Or do you see him breaking a law since you are calling 911? But in the same token, when are we going to just ask the cops, hey, don't you have the ability to have some discretion to be like, hey, is something going on here? Are you breaking the law? Why do I have to arrest you when you are not even breaking the law? Literally, you're not doing anything. Why am I sitting here? Like, literally, in both of those videos, take a look at the cops. The police chief in Philadelphia had to issue an apology. He had to, cops, because of what Starbucks did. The cops in the LA Fitness video, the dude asked them, why are you here? What am I being charged with? And they were like, man, I don't know.
I don't believe cops feel that they have that authority to make those types of
are you kidding me?
Determinations.
So they can let somebody go that they catch speeding. They can let somebody go. They can arrest them or not let them. And somebody calls them to their. No, because I've actually been in an actual situation. Just no lie. I've been in a restaurant. And this is actually a really funny story. We were in a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, me and my friends, and we were just telling stories. And you know how you just tell the stories to your friends and you're laughing. And a white customer came up to the front to pay their bill, I guess, or something like that. And I guess for some reason, because we were so laughing so boisterously, I guess she thought we were laughing at her. And she was like, this is not funny. And we were like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you think this is a joke? And like one of my friends was like, man, bye. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. And like literally, I was just like, okay, let's go ahead and talk. We're not even talking to you. Do you know they called the police on that? They said, they're being rude to me. That's enough to get arrested? They're being rude to me. And at that point, you're sitting there and you're just like, The police officer was like, okay, all right, and completely defused the situation. We went about our way and kept eating and doing the things we were about to do, and everything was good. So why does that police officer then say, hey, this is not something to arrest something. You're being rude to me. And we weren't even talking to you. We were talking. We didn't know anything was going on until you made the assumption that we were laughing at you. We were laughing at a joke that somebody said. And the police officer was like, okay, I see what's going on here. Nothing too big. The manager's like, do we have a problem? Is anything wrong? No, we're good. We just want to sit down and eat just like anybody else. And we sat down and we eat and we paid our bill and we were gone. But they handled it the right way. So why can't the police in these situations go, I'm not about to arrest these people, man. Now, if you just leave these people facility. Man, they don't want, like, for some reason, they don't want you here. So just leave the facility. I'm not about to arrest you. And I'm damn sure not about to detain you for 9 hours for absolutely nothing.
You're right. You know, some cops are different. I think that that conversation, just get out of here. I mean, these people don't want you here conversation will come from officers of a particular understanding and background. So I agree.
Yeah, I think cops should have the ability to de-escalate. I don't think they're tapping into that as they need to be, but they need to be able to de-escalate.
I don't know. But the biggest thing is, you know, people like to go off and say profiling is getting worse, or all of this stuff when it gets to racism is getting worse because of, like, who you think most people blame it on?
Trump.
Exactly. I was waiting for what y'all to say. They're basically, ever since he, you know, came into office, people are being more bold. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I disagree with that because it's just that people are starting to record it more and we're starting to see it more in our face. We already knew it didn't exist. None of us were like those people that, I don't know, maybe some black people are that way, but none of us were like, oh yeah, racism is over. We're done. Like, that's it. No, we know it's still there. It's just that now a lot of people are seeing it on a different screen, and so now people are being held accountable for it, whether it be body cams, whether it be people recording on their cell phones and going Facebook Live or Instagram, whatever. We're just putting it out there to where you're going to say, okay, defend this. What are we going to do from here? Defend that. And that's where we are. So where does it end? What are we going to have to do to change everything? Because it's not about how you dress. It's not, what kind of conversations are we going to have for something to change?
I think we do one or two things. Thing one is we build Wakanda. Like, you're laughing, but in seriousness, if we had our own thing, we wouldn't have to frequent places where we could be profiled outside of, you know, driving while black or sitting while black in areas that are public. But that's one way. The other way is to, what Jerry was saying earlier, is have honest conversations. Unfortunately, because of how the media portrays black people, about how we allow ourselves to be portrayed and the things that we do, white people have an unreal understanding of who we are. So we have to present ourselves without censorship. So the code switch that we do, we might have to cut back on. We have to start dialing it back so we give them an accurate perception of blackness. So we are less likely now to have people be uncomfortable with us. I see that as the only two options.
Yeah, I like that. Stop code switching.
Stop code
keep
switching.
It real. Keep it real.
Just keep it real.
Dial it back some. Like, we can't just, I'm not saying everybody just turn it off all at the same time. No. Now, you never heard Niall say that. I said we got to dial it down slowly. We got to progress it.
I'm with keeping it real. I see what you're saying, though.
No, we can't keep it real because keeping it real goes wrong. We saw that.
Okay. So this goes to my theory. I don't think it's never going to end until Jesus comes back. it'll take an event such as that to take place before it ends. So I don't think it's ever going to end.
I disagree, because when people find out that Jesus is black,
you're starting off a whole nother conversation. I was thinking that, but I wasn't gonna say it. But for the most part, but why not? Why are you guys skipping over, like, literally, why are you guys skipping over something that's very, very obvious? When are we gonna start prioritizing black-owned businesses?
That's never.
You said that's never gonna happen?
Yo, I mean,
so I think it's gonna happen.
I hope it happens. I have hope for that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Why?
I think there are too many forces at work to dispel and distract that from happening. I mean, that's what I feel. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of money going into these places where they're part of their mission is to prevent these type of things from happening, and they have a lot of power.
So I agree with you. I do think there are forces at work. However, I disagree because I think it will happen. I think that we need to start approaching business differently because of how we hold black businesses. There's always a sacrifice that's linked to it. You always make your consumer, us, have to go through all these elaborate things just to do it because it's not convenient anymore. And because it's not convenient, I am less likely to do it again. I did it once. I feel good about supporting this black-owned business, but I'm going to Kroger tomorrow because it's around the corner, right? But if we were able to start thinking like other demographics think about business, I have something, you have something, why don't we work together to make it bigger so it's more convenient for our people? Stop holding the black people hostage to your business, so to speak, by guilt-tripping them into going to your functions or buying black in certain areas because it's not convenient. And unfortunately, a lot of woke people, we do that to each other. Like, oh man, you're not supporting black businesses. Shame. And we try to get that. But unless the business itself decides, okay, let's make something more convenient for our customers. Let's pull a bunch of our monies together to make a franchise that makes sense. If we had a number of black coffee shop owners come together and do that in Atlanta, we could definitely make a franchise, but we're not thinking that way. So it's not convenient, and we're not perpetuating the money into the community anymore.
Or you can just be uncomfortable, which you're just saying is not possible.
No, it's not a lasting way for you to continue to get business. Your coffee could be great, but if it takes me 30 minutes to get there, I'm sorry. It's not having it. And if you think about how business, like Amazon, is hella convenient. People order for them because they're convenient. As a black store owner, you have to fight against Amazon now. And you have to think about different ways to do that. These giants of industry can be beaten, but you have to do it in a way that makes sense.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it goes back to what I was saying about the powers that be, the forces. But it also takes a mind change. It takes a culture shift. It takes you teaching your daughter, hey, no matter what, support the black businesses. And for everybody else that has kids that are young, that they're in their life imparting wisdom, support the black business. It has to be a culture shift among the entire culture for that to get somewhere. And it's hard, again, because you go back to the media, you point out the media, yeah, they're putting out an image. And it's not just affecting, you know, the white kids. It's affecting our kids, too.
Right. It really is. Have either of you seen that movie Hoodlum before?
No.
Mm-mm. That's the one with Lawrence Fishburne?
Yes. Very briefly. It talks about that because it talks about, I mean, they were all doing things during the Great Depression. And the way that you said it, York, is just basically putting in and making sure the business stays within the community. They were dealing with Italian white gangsters that were trying to do the same thing, but they were talking about, hey, you guys can do whatever you want to do, you know, in your communities, but for this community, for us to run the way that we need to, I need to be here, I need to be running it, and I need to be employing the people that live here, and I need to do it black owned. And if you go back, just get a chance, go and look at the movie. It's pretty cool. I mean, the guy, and watch how he actually overcomes powers that be that have more money than him, have more influence than him, and all that. He can do it. He just uses those parties to set each other up to kind of say, hey, you're going to give me the influence and you're going to give me the partnerships that I need to create the community that I want. And if we start, like you said, if we start thinking that way, I think we'll be in a different spot. But it comes, number one, like York said, from the psyche of not only black people, but the psyche of black people have got to change, as well as how we address things and how we be a boycott. Because the thing is, as soon as this came out for LA Fitness, we boycotting them too. Well, where are we going? Because after a minute, you're going to need a place to play ball. You're going to need a place to live. You're going to be like, Yeah, the only court we got, man, y'all going to Acres Mill down the street. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go. You done forgot about the boycott, all right? The one thing I commend Starbucks for doing is Starbucks closed down all their stores, all right? That hit their pocket, yo. They closed out every last one of their stores.
I'm so about that. I thought that was a ploy.
It is a ploy. It is. But it was a ploy that cost them that might in the end, they're hoping.
Make them because, more money right, for taking
that's it. The thing. They're like, in the end, it's probably going to make us more money. So let's take that one hit. But that's a hit, though. So they're taking a risk of saying in the end, they're going to love us because we closed down all our stores to go over diversity training.
And what you know what? What's in that diversity training?
Exactly.
What are they teaching them? I've always been curious about when it comes to teaching diversity. How do you do that? What is the course curriculum? What are we talking about?
Who created it? Right.
Right. And so I know, as soon as I heard they were closing down for diversity training, I was like, okay. So I worked at Teavana, and when Starbucks bought us out, they had like this real thick book. So I've had a number of these Starbucks trainings, and I don't think that diversity thing about to go very well. I think it's going to be a day where people just show up and do nothing.
Yeah, I think that every company that's going through, they're doing that because immediately LA Fitness was like, yeah, we need to get some training on how to handle diverse situations and how to de-escalate and everything. Training is a good tool. Sometimes you just need to not hire racist people. And that might be the better thing. How about no training? How about just being like, you know what? This is not acceptable for the standards that I believe, so I'm going to ask you to leave. They ain't about to do that. They're just not about to do that.
But how do you, again, it goes back to the whole, how do you filter out the racism? I think there should be a company owned by diverse minority people to come up with the test.
For black people, the question should be, how many black friends do you have?
Yeah, that should be a question on
and
there.
And if they know the number exactly, they're racist.
So you think that any white person that knows how many black friends they have?
No.
They
it's like,
know the number right off top of their head.
I have five black friends.
That's a little weird. We're going to question him for a little further.
What if they've never been around black people and they have five awesome black friends that are teaching them, you know, that, hey, there's more diversity than I thought there was. And they literally have five black friends.
References. It works off of references, too, I believe. I think it should work off of references.
Let me ask you a question.
People name.
T and York, how many friends do you have?
I don't know. What are you talking about, my inner?
Stop right there. Man, I don't know. You stop. You see exactly what you just did. That's why that question works for white people. Bruh, how many black friends do you have? What? You wouldn't give the answer immediately. You would have to think about it. If she knows it, he knows it.
So let me play devil's advocate. Do you guys know how many white friends you have right off the bat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have zero.
That's what I'm just saying. I'm just saying, though.
That's an acceptable answer.
But I'm just saying.
If the white person said zero.
That's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable. I'm just saying.
It's not acceptable.
If a white person asked you, well, hey, how many white friends you have? And you'd be like, man.
Zero white devil.
See, I ain't saying
that. I don't trust y'all.
So, see, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, that's the problem where we start going. I wouldn't ask any question like that because that's not truly indicative of whether someone is racist.
Now, these are just jokes, of course, people.
They are. White but it's not indicative of that. Because you can
and
have.
And we need more white friends. That's
we do
also
need more white friends.
A cry out of desperation.
This is an appeal to white America.
Yes.
We need more diversity. We need
help
people that's different talking to each other. We need people having very uncomfortable and difficult situations.
We need a white person in the chair right now to answer these questions.
I wish. Man, that's what we need to do. That's what we're going to get.
That's the problem.
Next upcoming shows, we're going to get, you know, we're going to find a white brother or sister to get in here to actually talk about it. And I don't want them to sugarcoat anything. I want them to tell me the truth. I'm just saying, like, just tell me the truth.
It's not going to be
rule.
Here.
Hey, before we go there, do
it's not
drop
be
no
here.
Words, brother.
I'm just saying.
Or sister.
I want somebody to
don't
tell
get
me the
too
truth.
Comfortable
now, the thing is, why is it that if somebody tells us the truth, we'd be like, nah, man, that's not about to go down. You're not about to do that. But how do you get to the meat of something unless you get through some pain?
I mean, we can do that. I'm just saying, don't drop no N-bombs. I'm trying to keep it neutral for everybody.
That's for another show, but we're going to try. But in the end, you know, this is what we stuck with. Racial profiling is not new. It's been going on. It's been happening, and it's still happening. Okay, now we just see it. but we just gotta put some conversations around this, folks. That's it.
Yeah, let's build Wakanda, y'all.
All right, peace.